Good morning, everyone. I just have to tell a story about my offering. So I was in a rush. I just put a check in an envelope, and I put it in my back pocket. And I walked here, and I'm like, the check isn't in my pocket. I walked all the way back home, and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to have to cancel this check or whatever. I don't know. Anyways, then I got home. I like went through all my stuff. It wasn't there. I came back, and then it was right on the ground in front of the, and I'm like praying the whole time, like, God, please just help me find this check. And it was on the ground right in front of the bus shelter on Weston Road. And I'm just so grateful that it was there. And I don't know, I was like very distressed. So I almost made it to church on time. This is the thing that that derailed me. So anyway, thank you, God, for that. So the passage today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and they went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. The word of God.
Family stories, grace of the long view. The context for this is verses, chapter 13, verses 1 to the beginning of 3. So let me just read that. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 13, 1 to 3. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, And then he goes on to tell the parable that Marcus just noted of the seeds. Says another one. And that leads us to where we are. But it's interesting that the context is a lot of excitement, big crowds, so much so that he has to go into a boat so that he can speak. Just imagine, hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people all over the hillside, so much he's got to go in to a boat to say the words. Now, if that was in our situation, right, we would probably think, wow, this is pretty cool, man. Like, look at all the people here. This is very exciting. But Jesus sees the crowd, and he knows what's going on. And he's not as excited as we might think. And so that leads us into our story. School is in session, we're calling this. Verses we've just read. Jesus takes up the role of teacher. And so up to this point, Jesus has been teaching very directly. The most famous piece is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7, where he teaches very directly. This is what is up. Spade is a spade, if you like. That's what he's calling in the Sermon on the Mount. But now, in Matthew, he switches to beginning to teach in parables. So he leaves the direct message to an indirect message. And as I note, he introduces a cast of imaginative characters, all kinds of imaginative characters. The work of fiction that he's creating here goes from the direct message to an indirect message. In spite of all these people who are listening. So we might wonder, now why is that the case? Why does Jesus go from direct to indirect when He is so popular. And I think the reality is, and the way the Gospels present it, is that Jesus knows, in spite of all the crowds, there's a fair amount of resistance going on. People are hearing, but are they really hearing? Or are they coming out to see this one who is acclaimed for doing miracles, who walks on water, feeds thousands from a few loaves of bread? Somebody said they heard that he changed water into wine. So all the people come out. But Jesus knows the hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows where we're at. And so he changes his direction, Jesus does, and he starts focusing more and more on his disciples. But he quotes these verses from Isaiah. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. Or the next verse is even more blunt. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, because if they would do that, I would heal them. I think that's quite amazing. That Jesus doesn't play games. He knows if people are honestly interested or not. There's another verse in the Proverbs that says, don't cast pearls before swine. Now that's a really blunt way that the wisdom writer writes in the Old Testament. But Jesus knows if people are interested or not, or are they just coming out to see someone who does miracles. He moves from direct speech to indirect speech because he's convinced that a lot of people are here and they're not really listening. They're not really seeing. They don't want to really know. All they want is a free lunch. It was told of the Romans, all they wanted was food and circuses. Literally, bread and circuses. The Roman population. Just give us all the bread we want, meaning food, and entertain us with all the games, the gladiator games. Do that and we'll be happy. Bread and circuses. Jesus refuses to do that. And so he switches from direct speech to indirect and puts the onus on them, do you want to hear and understand or not? I'm leaving it with you. And so he tells this story. That's what they get, just what Sari read. That's it. Go figure it out, guys. You figure it out. If you are intent, something will percolate in your hearts and souls, and you'll start getting it, and you'll pursue it. And if you're not, you'll just fluff it off. Fascinating, really. This is Jesus, the Son of God, God made flesh. This is how he deals with humankind. You're playing games. I don't play games. This is Christ. Very powerful. And so we have the parable. We retell the parable. What is it? Well, like many of them, it's an agricultural parable. The area around the Sea of Galilee, which is the context here, Capernaum, very lush, still very lush today. If you go to the Sea of Galilee, all around it, it's a Mediterranean climate with lots of water right there, access to the lake, everything grows. Super, super lush. So Jesus tells agricultural stories. So this one, note, is about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is talking about here, the kingdom of God. He says a farmer goes out and he casts good seed. All right, cool. Farmers do that. And in the night, someone else comes along, called an enemy, who sows bad seed. And apparently, in that day, in that area, we've always been in competition. We always compare. They were doing the same thing then. Somebody would come and actually sow bad seed. What a dirty, rotten person to do that. Some do it. sow bad seeds. And so both start growing. And so the servants of the farmer come to the farmer and say, hey, you use good seeds, right? Yeah. Well, there are all kinds of weeds growing out there. And the weed that is mentioned specifically is darnel. And it's a weed that looks a lot like wheat. Here it is. And when it first grows, you cannot tell the difference between wheat and darnel. And only as it finally goes towards the very end, instead of the nice brown wheat, we get a darker colored wheat. Only at that point can you figure it out. For the longest time, you can't figure out what's wheat and what's darnel. So the owner says, no, that won't work, because if you start pulling out the wheat, you're going to pull out all the good stuff too. So the best thing we got to do is just let them grow. And then later on, we'll know, and we'll separate. And what do? Well, we separate the darnel, and we'll use it as a source of fuel. We'll burn it. And the wheat, we're going to put in the barn, because we're going to eat it. I had a fascinating time in Bolivia one time, hiking with a guy in the outback, and it was just he and I, and we're going through some area where there had been some farming, and he comes across a cow patty, okay? A cow patty, poop, all right? That's dried up and is on the ground. We're walking along. He says, huh, look at that. Picks down, picks it up, puts it in his bag. I'm thinking like, wow, why did you do that, man? Like, are you going to put that in your bag? It's fuel. It really burns good. And you're out in the middle of nowhere. Everything is used. Nothing is wasted. Even this cow crap is picked up, put in the bag, and later we're going to burn it. So in this agricultural metaphor, everything is used. The darnel has a good use. It's going to be used, and it's going to help us keep us warm. But the food is what we're going to eat. So that's the story. What do we do with the story? It's also interesting, a couple things there, that the verb that is used in 24, let both of them grow. There's two verbs, allow them to grow. It's interesting that the word allow is one of the main words used for forgive. Allow them to grow. Forgive them to grow. That's the word, aphime, that's how it's normally translated, forgive. Here it's allow, permit, let. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers what to do. At harvest time. You know, in Greek, there are two words for time. I've mentioned this before, chronos, clock time, and kairos, the special time. The word here is kairos. And at the time of opportunity, at the right time, we'll take care of things. That's what's going on. So that is the story. Now, of course, we've got to understand it. Now, it's interesting that later in the chapter, the disciples who have heard this also, they're quite intrigued by this, and they want to know more. So they come back to Jesus and say, after Jesus has gone on, told some other parables, and now they get him back in the house, when Jesus is back in the house, hey, we really like that one about the wheat and the weeds. Tell us more about that one. And so we see that in the verses that follow, just a bit farther on, and we'll look at it. But there's three ways of understanding this in terms of the way the Scripture comes to us. And the first is, it's the context of Jesus' ministry. It says something about Jesus and those who are hearing right then and there. What does it say? Well, so if you jump down to verses 37 to 38, we hear a little bit about it. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the darnel in the field. He answered, okay, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That was a reference to himself. That's how he referred to himself. humble, doesn't make a big scene about himself. The Son of Man, this one, he sows good seed. What is the field? The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And the weeds, the darnel, the children of the evil one. That's how he goes on to promote it. So Jesus sows good seed. Marcus said, let's sow good seeds in our children. That's what we're trying to do even here right now. Sow good seeds. But there is one who doesn't want the best for us, who also sows seed. And that seed isn't so great for us. So the parable speaks of resistance. Jesus knew much resistance. The Jewish religious establishment of the day, better to call them that, the religious establishment, the leadership of the day, resisted Jesus. They didn't like him. They didn't trust him. They wanted him out. And we also know the Romans didn't like him. So much so that Christ is finally crucified. He faces a lot of resistance. The reality is there's also resistance in us. So part of us, we want to hear. And another part of us is distracted because we're looking at all kinds of other things. I note some attachments, blocks get in the way. And, quote, the evil one promotes this so that we can be distracted, so that we face resistance. We've all experienced that one time or another. This is the resistance that Jesus faced. That's what we experience. So the first way the parable is understood is in the context of Jesus. The second way is that it's understood in the church, because that's what we're calling family stories. Because these stories, the Gospels, were written after Jesus, generation after Jesus. They're written down, and they're told to the beginning church. They're the first ones who hear these stories. That's why we're calling them family stories. So now the church receives these parables. We now receive these parables. So the thing is, now how do we understand? What do we do with them? And the reality is there's this mixture of good and evil in all of us, that there is resistance in us. And sometimes it's very graphic. Wolves who are in sheep clothing. The church has known this from the very beginning. Paul writes about it in his epistles. There are those who are trying to do harm even while they are in the church. And then, of course, there are others, all of us, who just are a frail bunch. And we have this mix of good and evil, desiring God and also resisting God. In the end, goodness wins out. That's the story of the gospel. In the end, goodness wins out. Evil does not win out, finally. Goodness wins out. In our world, goodness ultimately will win, even though we see hardly any signs of it on a national, global scale. Where we see it winning out normally are individuals. Individuals who do good. Then we see, wow, wouldn't it be great if all the world was like that? But the international agencies frequently get caught up in power and money and everything else and do harm. But the gospel is about goodness finally winning out. That's a good thing. So we go forward in hope, because God is a good God, and he will do his work in the world, and ultimately there will be a society of hope and peace and justice that God brings about amongst humankind. He will do that. That's the story of the gospel. Praise God for that. Meanwhile, our job is to be that light and salt in the world even now. What the parable's also teaching, though, is that we are not to play God. That it's not up to us to judge what's the wheat and what's the darnel, because we can't figure it out. You see, that's what the parable is saying. You got to let it grow. Only later at the harvest time will we finally know. If we try to get involved, we're going to start pulling up all the wrong stuff. Somebody that we think is so wonderful is actually darnel. Someone else that we think is maybe mixed up and screwed up is wheat. You see what I mean? We are not to be the ones who play God and judge. It's not our job. Our job is to love. Where there is no love, put love, and you will find love. I love that statement. Where there is no love, put love, and you will find love. I don't know if you've seen the film Three Billboards outside Billings, Missouri. Story is about three main characters. The one is a sheriff, Sheriff Bill Willoughby. And Willoughby is, this is out in the southern states. He's basically a good man. He's trying to do a good job. He ends up getting cancer. He's going to die. Doesn't tell everybody. He has a deputy named Jason Dixon. And Jason is an individual filled with hate and anger. And he reaches out and he lashes out in this town and takes advantage of people and beats them up and locks them up. And he just thinks it's a great old thing. He's Jason Dixon, the deputy. And there's one person they particularly, Jason doesn't like, and it's a woman named Mildred, and she's the protagonist in the story. When Bill Willoughby, the sheriff, knows that he's dying, he says, I'm going to write a letter, and I'm going to write it to Jason. And after I'm gone, I'm going to make sure he gets this letter. So the letter is delivered to Jason. Bill's already died at this point. And the letter goes on to say, Jason, you have the potential to be a good deputy. But you are filled, man, with hate, so much anger. That's driving you. And that will prevent you from ever, ever becoming the detective that you want to be. You're doomed for failure because you're driven by anger and hate. Somehow, something resonates with Jason. He starts thinking about it. Yes, it's totally true. Sheriff Bill, because he respected him hugely. And so he starts to change. And he starts to change with Mildred, who is his biggest enemy. Where there is no love, put love and you will find love. The point is, it's not up to us to judge, man. That's not our job. Let's leave it with God, who really actually understands what's going on in the hearts and minds of us. And put in love. Where there is no love, put in love and you will find love. That's a Dorothy Day story. You know where that came from? Dorothy Day working in New York in the jails. And her experience was the guards treated these women who were in jail like they were nothing. And they took advantage of them all the time because all they saw was badness in these women who kept being arrested. And Dorothy says, no, where there is no love, put love, you'll find love. Start treating these people right. And you know what? They're full of love. Find the love. So the second reading is the context of the church. We're in that story, you see what I mean? We're in that story. We got to figure it out. Finally, there's future reckoning. There is finally a time when evil will be judged and evil will be destroyed. And in the development, it moves towards this piece of light. Remember, in where this text ends, in the Greek reading, is always the main point. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The righteous will shine like the sun. That's us. Meaning us in the sense of those who want to know God, those who open up their hearts, our end will be shining like the sun. The world ultimately will shine like the sun. We can't believe that, right? We're in such a crazy place. So much evil in our world seems out of control. But the gospel's parable ends with the righteous will shine like the sun. Evildoers will be destroyed. But it's interesting, it's translated at the end of 41, all causes of sin and evildoers will be destroyed. Evildoers is lawlessness. Those who put themselves in the middle, make themselves their own law. This lawlessness will be destroyed. If we play the game and put ourselves in the center and it's all about me, 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 through my whole life, there's nothing to inherit. You cannot go to the kingdom of God. You are just full of me. I am full of the false self. It's all a masquerade. It's all a facade. There's nothing to offer God. We're to open up our lives. Lawlessness will be destroyed. Light will be honored. That's where the story ends, a future reckoning. So we just close with some applications. So what are all the parables about? Come to the Father. That's why we started with that first song. Come, come, come to the Father. Come to Abba. Come to Jesus. All the parables are that, an invitation. That's what Jesus is saying, come. If you are open, if you are honest, if you are peaked in your interest a little bit, you will pursue this. Follow the story, man. Follow it. Come. Number one, it calls for patience. Note, not to give up on yourself. Oftentimes, we're the hardest on ourselves. We give up on ourselves. And God is saying, no, let it grow, man. Let it grow. Let it grow. God will do his work. We give up on ourselves and we give up on others. And we're called to be patient. Patient with one another. Why? Because God is a compassionate God. He understands us. He knows the inner workings. We are quick to judge. We don't get it, man. All the nuances of people, all the levels, we can't see that. We can barely understand ourselves, and most times we don't understand ourselves. That's why we often give up. I'm so bad, what can I do? I've been doing this, man, for 30 years, addicted, whatever it is. I can't change. What can I do? We give up on ourselves. And God is saying, no, let it grow, man. Let it grow. God is doing his work. He works in your life. He works in my life. He understands us. He's looking just for that little bit of opening, and then he moves in. Give him just that little opening. A little look to God. God, where are you? All it takes is that. Instead of looking at ourselves, a compassionate God. And finally, it's about grace. These parables are all about grace. God's beautiful grace. He takes the long view. The long view in your life, the long view in my life, giving us a chance, right up, maybe to your last breath, and finally you call out, oh God, have mercy. That's it. You can work all day or you can work in the last 5 minutes of the day. God, have mercy. Let it grow. So it's a story of grace, it's a story of mercy, compassion. Where there is no love, put love and you will find love. In our neighborhood, where there is no love, put love and you will find love. So many people hurting, 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 but deep down, there's something there that's good. We want to reach that. Put in love and we'll find love. In Jesus' name, amen.